doesn't bother me, man. You know, I mean, Teresa barely does. But you know, I don't let none of that. If I'm a fruitcake in an area, and I find out I'm a little fruity, I need to go ahead and get that out of the way, you know, so that people, you know, and if they got a good right to think that I'm a weirdo or whatever, that's fine. But if I'm biblically right, I'm not into being politically correct. I'm not into being people pleaser. Now, I want people to be pleased with me, and I want to please people, but I want to please the Lord. I want to be pleasing to God. And it pleases God when you prosper spiritually. When you prosper spiritually, that pleases God. Did you know you can't really prosper without having faith? Now, I'm not just talking about money. Spiritually, emotionally, you got to have faith in God. Faith in God. And then, you know, kind of like one time, you know, Travis went to Teresa and he said, nobody don't want to be around you on because of that attitude you have. She left, you know, hurt her feelings and all of that. But you know what I saw her do? I started seeing her seek the Lord and saying, God, I want to change. God, I want to change. I need you to help me change, you know. And I seen her start changing. I seen her start changing, you know. And anybody that gets to know her would love her. But people that don't know her, they've told me, man, you know how to pick them. You know, that means something. That means, somebody in my family told me one time, they said, I don't know how you live with her, you know. And I'm like, well, I love her, man, you know. I like them that's straightforward. That's what I tell them. I like a woman with a backbone, you know, that you just can't run over and all of that stuff, you know. I kind of like that. I like a good fight in a woman. I got two, Mac. I got one. Now, she's like that on the devil, too. She's like that on sickness and disease. She's like that on prospering the church and things of the church. And she's always on me about the church. Get them lights fixed. Do that ceiling tile. Get that light on in there. There's a crack in the wall. I know. I mean, she's already gathering up lights and all of that. She's got some endurance. I mean, you know, we're all let it go. Oh, just let it go. Just let it go. We'll get it later. Get it later. I mean, later don't come till she gets it done. Then it's done. How many knows that's the way we've all got to be and built. And we're built by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Faith is not enough. I've seen people get in there and but get that bulldog faith through the word. I'm going to prosper, bless God. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. And then, you know, let the race go and things attack in the natural and different things, you know, and they start changing. They start dwindling off. They get their faith. How many knows your faith stops when your endurance ends? I mean, endurance comes up under faith and holds it up. That's the best way I can explain how I see it. It holds faith out there. And I mean, as long as you're going forward and enduring, faith is there. Faith, the Bible says if we have faith, the grain of mustard, that's not very big. We can speak the mountain, tell it to move, and cast in the sea and all that, and it'll happen, praise God. But you know what? If we quit enduring, that's where faith stops. I mean, I set out to prosper, praise God. I don't even like money, to be honest with you. It's not about the money. This thing right here, this thing called a Bible and the Holy Spirit set me on fire with it. I mean, you know, I mean, put it in me. I mean, I'm not, if I mean, when I get plenty of money and not believing nothing, I go to getting bored. I mean, when I've run out of something to believe God for and believe God for, it goes to getting kind of boring. I mean, that might sound strange, but that's just the way it is. It's not even really about the money. I don't even like money. Money's paper. That's why I took a $100 bill one time when I was being challenged about giving. And I took a $100 bill, Matt, and got me a cigarette lighter. I lit it and watched it burn. Talked to it while it was burning. And I said, you will never own me. I own you. I am your master. You don't master me, I master you. See, I realized back there, you know, see, Satan wanted me to have faith and go after things. Go after, you know, make me think that that would what would satisfy my life. If I had a good car and I had all my bills paid and didn't owe no payments and all of that, that's what would fulfill me. Nah, victory fulfills you. Victory fulfills. Victory over finance. Victory over disease. Victory over oppression. And victory, you know, victory over, you know, the curse that is in this earth. And the only way we're going to have that really is have faith in God based on the Word of God and build endurance by going through. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he went through. Through the things he suffered, the Bible says. And that's why the psalmist David said, I believe in Psalms 23 over there, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I read that one time, and the Lord spoke to me by the Spirit of God. He said, don't never, ever camp out in your battle, in your trial. He said, in the valley is where the battles, I told them to go down to the valley of Zarephath, down to the valley. I mean, all in the Bible. God, he wouldn't have them in battle on the mountaintops. They were, he'd send them in the valleys. And he told me, he said, in the valley, in the valleys of your life that you are in or will go through is where you will see me work the most in your life if you will let me. And I thought, man, that's a powerful scripture. So every time I get in a trial, I'll walk around saying, I walk through this valley. Hallelujah. There's light at the end of the tunnel. This is a temporary period. How many knows that everything that we face is temporary? Things are subject to change at any minute. Told Nemo was unloading. I said, if you get upset at me, I'll bust you with a $100 bill. Well, the Lord told me one time, he said, overcome evil with good. You know what he was telling me? He was telling me, I'm going to teach you how to endure this. I'm going to teach you how to do it. See, there's a difference in just going through and coming out halfway defeated. And going through and coming out stronger with victory, knowing that the next one that you face is going to be so much easier. I really don't dread trials because I know they're coming. All I know is I've got to have some endurance because I got faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And I hear preaching a lot at my house. I mean, this Sunday school is one of the, I mean, the anointed places that I hear the word. So faith comes by hearing. The Lord spoke to me, dropped it in my heart. The more you spend time with him, you know, and the more you spend time with him, the more you will pick up on what he's saying to you. He's always speaking to us. I mean, I've had Christians for years, I just don't hear the Lord. And I'll say, well, that's contrary to Scripture. Why ain't you here? Are you saved? Well, yeah, I've been saved for blah, 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 you know. And I'll be like, well, don't you know what the Scripture says about what you just said? I said, you are releasing faith in that you can't hear God. I said, you're saying it. I don't hear God. I said, when the Scripture plainly says, my sheep, and you said you was, hear my voice, and another they won't follow. I said, so now you've got to get in there. See, Satan, I mean, she can't endure nothing. She can't hear the Lord speaking, man. Like giving her that good feeling, that inward peace, that he speaks to us many different ways. It can be peace. It can be like you just know that you know. That's the way it is to me. I just know that I know that I know that this is it. Or a scripture will come to me. So I've told numerous Christians, you know, you're believing the wrong thing. You're believing a lie. You should never come out of your mouth that you don't hear the Lord. That's contrary to Scripture. I said, you need to go and didn't even know where the Scripture was at. I'm like, really? I got hold of that way back yonder. And I started saying, I'm your sheep, Lord. I hear your voice, and another I won't follow. I hear it. Well, that's faith. Now, because that scripture right there tells me that, if I will start saying that, rehearse that, believe in that, I will build endurance until I'm hearing what he's saying. That's what the faith comes by hearing. I mean, if she would see, if you believe you can't hear, you're not in faith. That's not faith. But if you take that word, how does faith come? By hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Joshua, he said, if you'll meditate on my word, then not, Joshua, then you'll make your way prosperous. Why? God knows that his word brings up faith, brings up prosperity on the inside of us, no matter what area it's in. See, we've been trained, when you mention prosperity sometimes, just to think about money. But money don't mean nothing when your life's all in a wreck. Things don't mean nothing. You can't enjoy it anyhow. But boy, when you got confidence, and you know, when you're in faith, that's why Satan don't want us in have no endurance, so that the faith ends. Faith is the force of God that gives us the ability to keep going. To keep going. Faith opens the door of grace into our life, to receive healing, to receive salvation, to receive finances. Hallelujah. That's how come even through 2007 and 8, I went in here based on the word of God. Lord, he spoke to me one time. He said, never believe based on your experiences or anybody else's testimony and experience. Well, a preacher one time told me, an ex-pastor, he told me, he said, I gave my way to poverty. I said, that's not what the scripture says. See, God, and when I left that guy's presence, that's when the Lord spoke to me. Don't believe based on somebody's experience. He's believing now, or she's believing now, based on what they've experienced. Let the word. Let the word of God give, and it shall be given. Good measure. Don't it say it? Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Don't it say that? Well, if you give and money don't come, don't change your believing based on that. I told that brother, I said, no, that's not scriptural what you said. I said, but the Bible does say in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I said, so evidently based on Luke 6:38 and Malachi 3 of tithing and giving, and based on all of that in Romans 8:14, that tells me you missed God somewhere. You did. I said, because I hadn't, and I am prospering. And I stood through 2007-8 broke, thinking the same thing, speaking the same. I mean, it rocked me for a little bit. After a long period of time, I kind of got rocked a little bit. But once I got up and stood up on the inside and stood on God's word, then the things started happening. What happened? I got back in endurance. I got back inside of endurance. Now faith, I took back over, and I'm blessed God, I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out in the name of Jesus. Then I would march and tell the devil, I caught you, you lied, trying to lie to me, make me believe this stuff. Praise God, what was I doing? Now I'm in endurance. Now faith is working. Then one move of God, one, I made $8,000 in 1 week, and God delivered us. I've never been behind again. My house is mine. All my vehicles are mine. Paid for. All mine. Teresa called Travis. She said, hey, yeah, go down there and get the tags. This month's tags for us. And he pondered that for a minute. And he thought about it. So he tells his mama, he said, do you know how long that's going to take? Do you know how many tags Dad's got? So Matt, he don't want to go down there and stand in line for an hour and a half to get them tags. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? They're mine. All of them's mine. Well, the devil told me in 2007 when I was behind on everything and fixing to lose it all, 3 months behind, done put me in quick. He was telling me, you thought God worked. You thought this was real. You thought. You've been believing. I had these thoughts coming to me. You've been believing lies. They was right about that's brainwashing you. But there's something on the inside of you if you'll listen. Greater is He that's in you and me than he that is in this world. And He is the way out. He is the way out. He is the Redeemer. He is our shield and our buckler. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, He is the Alpha, the Omega. He's God. I mean, He's still God. He rolled back the Red Sea, bless God. I mean, He dried up the Jordan River. He dried up the rivers where they could go. He kept them in the wilderness. He took them to the promised land. And He said, I am the Lord your God, and I don't change. Millions of God's people today, you know, I mean, I asked the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me to minister the truth. Help me. Help me, God. I mean, outside of you, God, I know nothing. I don't know nothing, Lord. And without you, I can't teach nothing. Lord, help me. Help me to be a good minister of the Word of God under the anointing. Not just so I'll be popular, God, but Lord, that when it goes forth, you said your word would not return void, but it'll go do what you sent it out to do. And Lord, let it go out into our ears and into our hearts and create the being that you already called us and planted in us. We are the kings and priests in this earth. We are the ones that holds back the powers of darkness in this earth. It's not even God. The church is a restraining force that's in this earth. Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. When the Holy Ghost is took out of here, they ain't going to be no drawing. They ain't going to be no healing. They ain't going to be no salvation. There will be no drawing of God. The Holy Spirit is here demonstrating the power of God in us and through us. Hallelujah. Give me that James, Zach. We know it, but it don't make no difference. I know it. I can quote it to you without going, but I won't see it. The Bible says the eye is the light to the soul. Luke 21:19 says, in your endurance you possess your own soul. Your soul is made up of three parts: your mind, your will, and your emotions. He says, in our endurance, our patience, we start to possess all that. We get in control of our mind, our will, and our emotions. We won't be roller coasters. We won't be tossed. The news can't shake us. The news will just get you upset right now. I mean, now they're saying, well, Biden's releasing 15 more million in December. He's doing it because it's a midterm. We don't care what term it is. We're going to vote the Bible. We stand up for the ones. We stand up and vote the not Republican, not Democrat, not independent. Show us where God is in your life and in your voting. And bless God, I don't care what you are, we will vote you in. See, we're not all in turmoil over this stuff. And you know what? We cast our vote, Mac. We go, we cast our vote. And if it don't turn out the way we voted, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, Galatians 6:7, that shall he reap. If we sow righteous seeds in voting, then we going to reap righteous. We going to reap God's protection because we put him in, whether he got in or not. Right? Well, I'm all over the place again tonight, ain't I? It's okay, though. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. It works endurance. God delights in us when we get in a trial and we turn to Him and we stay focused on Him and we cast a, you know, one of the ways of staying in the Lord in times of trouble is you got to learn to cast your care. You got to learn to roll it off. That's part of endurance. Because, see, Satan wants us worried and weighed down so that we quit enduring. But if we cast it over on the Lord and we give it to the Lord and we roll it over on to the Lord, hallelujah, then we're not carrying the care of that thing. God's got it. We have a confidence then and here. Then faith is out there. We're like, it's just a matter of time till God turns us around. It's just a matter of time. I left the house one time, and I felt, I mean, Teresa was into it, and the garage door business was back there where we unload the groceries at that time. That's where my business was, in this building. And I left, and I wanted to punch it, Mac. I'd done it a million times, you know. We get into it, and I'd get up there, and I'd turn tail spins, and I'd hold it in first gear, and I mean, till it nearly quit, hit second, wide open, you know, and then get out to the stop sign and slide around, just mad, you know. And so, I mean, I pulled out the driveway, and I mean, I wanted to punch it, and just, you know, hold it down again. I'd done it forever, seemed like. And this time I thought, I am not going to yield to this garbage anymore. And I come out of my mouth, I said, Satan, I bind you. What was happening? My faith was being tested in what I'd believe for, to have a good marriage and all that. And it looked like it wasn't doing no good now. So now I've got to look at the city. And so I started binding. I said, I bind you, Satan, from trying to lie to me in the name of Jesus. You are a liar. I look not at the things that are seen. I see how it's going in the natural, but that's not really how it's going in the spirit realm. And I pulled out on the road, and I kept the speed limit. And then I told God, I said, God, I'll roll her over to you right now. I said, and by the time I get to Bluntsville, Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit will be done moved on her. And I told Satan, I said, watch this, you idiot. I said, you heard what I just told God? I said, now you're fixing to get some evidence. I got down there and the phone was ringing. And it was Teresa. I thought, good God Almighty, it works. I mean, it shocked me. I mean, it really shocked me. I know what the Bible says. Now I'm just having to try it out, so to speak. You know, just like all of us. Ain't none of us, you know, pops up in the spirit and we're like God now. Where you at, devil? Blah, blah, blah. And we just know everything and we just do everything. No, we got to learn. Just like Jesus learned. Jesus learned to obey the Lord, being obedient to the Lord by the things. I imagine if he'd have had a house with a note, he'd have went through some trials with it. I'd imagine if he had cars. I mean, he had need of donkeys. And you know what? But I mean, he went down there, sent down there to get a brand new donkey. One that had never been rode. He could have said, get me all them trained ones down there. But he went in there and got a brand new, and you know what? I read that story, and I thought, glory to God, he got a brand new one. Jesus just sent the word down there and got him a brand new one. I thought, I can have a brand new car. Jesus did it. That donkey didn't even throw him, I don't think. Why? Authority and faith got on his back. See, whatever's trying to carry us that is not God, we put faith and endurance on it. And we ride it instead of it riding us. Hallelujah. He said, I mean, you know, just like Travis, his trial is people. Mac, his trial is people. I mean, he's kind of drawback. You know, don't show up at his house at 4 to come visit. You know, he likes to get in his underwear. Now it's on his nerves till he gets in the underwear. You know, it's disrupting his lifestyle in the evening. Better call and make a week appointment to make next Thursday. Teresa's the same way. Can't believe it is showing up over here. I'm like, come on, y'all. Everybody just show up when you want to, man. You know, well, they have a lot. They have a lot that they have to work on in that arena with people. If they don't, then they're being out of shape every time something happens. And I've seen both of them work on it. They're way better. Travis told a customer the other day, he said, if I ever get mad, you won't never know it. He worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And if the customer makes him upset, he don't know it. Me and Teresa does. I wanted to bust her teeth out. Bust it. Yeah, bust it. Well, ain't nothing wrong with telling how you felt. He didn't yield to it, didn't, you know? And I had to help him with that back yonder when I would send him out. I would pick out the worst ones that would cuss you out. And I mean, they called me every time. I told them, why don't y'all just use somebody else, man? I'm not going to do a good job before I get here. Y'all say it. And then you gripe the whole time, and then you gripe when you get paid because it costs too much. But you called me back. So I picked them out. I even told Teresa, I said, 30 minutes. He'll call me in 30 minutes. I sent him to the worst two customers I had. On purpose, Mac. I sent him in the fire. You know why? Because I'm like my father. I know that if you don't never go experience that, he won't know how to develop in it. And every time, if he don't learn some skills in it, then he'll be unskilled in the word of righteousness. It says milk belongs to them kind of people. He said, but strong meat are for those who have their senses what? Exercised. That they know good and evil. So Travis, he called. Oh, Daddy God, I'm going to bust his teeth. He's cussing me out. He's making me mad. I let him get done, Mac, and I said, listen, it's okay. I said, just don't get mad. I said, that guy's got my money. You know, he's got my money. I sent you over to get my money. Now you fix that and just take it. And now he's done learned, you know, he's been through there and all of that stuff. You know, and now I know when he's mad, he'll be like, when they're getting him mad, him and Beth, they light up like Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Hers is right here, and his ears get blood red. So if you ever see his ears blood red, that's a good sign. You've done toasted him. But if he's a man of God, and he's got himself in control, he'll never yield and never say anything. I'll never yield or say anything. See, we build these attributes as we go through things, as we face. And God, you know what? God told me one time, and I had somebody here that was doing Sunday school, different things, and they quit, got upset because I wanted to baptize somebody. I baptized somebody, and they wasn't married. They wanted to get baptized. So I went to the Bible, and I tried to find scripture where they got them saved and cleaned up and everybody before they baptized them. And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find that. So I told that brother, I told him, he said, you're not going to baptize them, are they? And I said, yeah, I'm going to baptize them. I said, you're going to have to give me scripture to help me reason why I wouldn't. Give me scripture. Well, they're living together. I said, there ain't no scripture in the Bible about don't baptize nobody living together. I said, that's not my job to clean them up. I said, it's my job to lead them to Jesus and baptize them and stay out of their business. I said, let me ask you something. I said, if you didn't know anything about them, would you baptize them? I said, yes, you would. I said, because you wouldn't know they're living together. All you'd know is it says those that is bad to get them saved and baptize them, train them. So anyways, he quit. That was my Sunday school teacher. And I thought, oh, Jesus. Now, Mac, I'm in a dilemma. So I'm coming down here, and I'm doing Sunday school, and I'm having to learn how to separate two messages. Do Sunday school, cut it off at 10:45, shift gears to the preaching, and then do the preaching. So I'm fasting and praying. Well, see, now I'm having to endure. I'm learning some things. I'm learning how to believe God when things are not the way I want them. Not the traditional way. I never knew anybody to do both services before, ever. And I thought, well, I just won't do Sunday school. And I thought, no, man, we're going to do Sunday school. So anyways, I'm asked the Lord. And all of a sudden, one day, the Lord said, "This is it." And I said, oh, Jesus. Not Teresa. Now, I'm not talking about 20 years ago. You know her now. She is in good shape now. I mean, God has worked on her and worked on her and worked on her. We had a work day down here one day, and we got the giveaway had got over, and we was doing a little work down here, and some guy pulled up wanting food, and Teresa looked at Travis and said, get rid of him. And he heard her. food thing's done. Get rid of. She wasn't really thinking. She just, you know. So I run across the dude down there, and Lucky's down there working back there in the meat department back there. I said, "How's it going, man?" Yeah. I said, "Hey, man, why don't you come on to church?" He said, "Where's your church at?" I said, "Oh, it's that church down there. You know, we have the food meeting. I ain't coming to church down there." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I come down there and see if I can get some food." Some woman down there said, "Get rid of him." And I thought, that has to be Teresa. There's nobody else that would do it. God told me to put her up there, Mac. Okay, then I looked at him and I said, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, woman down there, I'm telling you, that woman down there." I said, "You are going to let a woman keep you out of church?" I said, "Really?" I said, "There's not a woman on this earth that can keep me out of church." I said, "You know, that's kind of weak as a man." I said, I'm married to a woman. I didn't tell him she was my wife. I said, "I'm married to a woman." I said, "And I understand having to endure hardship." "Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Man, I mean, you know." I said, "Don't pay attention to them women down there. Just come on to church." Well, he wasn't wanting to go to church. But anyhow, I thought, Lord, God, I handled that pretty good. I should have done that with my wife, and I'm just like her. So wherever you're at in life, endure. I mean, when things hit, don't get all excited when you're in church and then the trial hits and you just lose your joy and your zeal for the Lord and all that because you start meditating on the wrong thing. You start letting that thing have your attention and your focus, man. Stay fired up because all of that will change. Every bit of that will change. I wouldn't turn back on Jesus today if hell froze over today. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me and my family. Best thing to ever happen to you. Anybody that gets born again, they ain't experienced it or nothing. I tell them that's the best thing that's ever happened to you. You may not know it, but you will. You let some time go by and you hang on to the Lord Jesus and you see what he does in you and around you and through you and because of you and the impact you will have on others. You can't help it. I mean, you can't help it. But that's why he wants us to quit enduring hardship. He wants us to quit reading, quit praying, quit fasting. What's the use? But those that endure, they see the promises. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. It says, but let patience have her perfect work. Reckon we can stop it. I believe we can, because if we didn't, he wouldn't have said, but let it. He could have said, patience is going to have her perfect work. When you're tried, patience is going to work. No, he said, let it. He said, but let patience have its perfect work. I'm down here getting my business license or something. And they had a team. They had teamed up with Coleman and some other. It's been about 10 years ago, I guess. Down there, and private investigators and DA, I mean, a lot of cops, they're under, you know, this team they had. They're after drugs. They're going after drugs, you know. They're trying to bring down drugs, you know. And I'm listening to them. They're over there. And one of them said, "Man, I just ain't no use in having this team." The other one said, "Yeah, every time we take one out, another pops up, blah, blah, blah," you know. And they went on, and I could tell they were discouraged. They'd been doing it, you know, about a year or so, So I got done. And I walked over to him and I said, "Y'all don't get discouraged. I'm here. I'm all dirty, Mac. I'm at work, man. I'm getting business license." And they said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the pastor right down here." I said, "You're looking at somebody that was going to be one of the biggest drug dealers in Blount County." I said, "I'd done set out my mind and heart to do it." I said, "And I was selling a few drugs," I said, "but I was headed that way up quick." I said, "I believe." I said, "And I got born again." And they're like, "Born again?" I said, "Well, let me say, I got saved." I said, "I got saved." I said, "Now," I said, "God has put me down here in Blountsville." You know, I said, "Look at this." I said, "When I win one drug dealer or drug head to Jesus, you lose them. You don't never have to lock them up again. I said, because Jesus said, whom he sets free is free. I said, so y'all don't give up. We're praying for you, and we're here. We're on the same team. Oh, do you know where he's at? And I said, yes, but I'm not telling you. I'm going to get them before you do. I'm going to get them saved. Well, you know what? I mean, there I left there and I thought, glory to God, here I am, Lord, all these years later down here, and now you've got me down here and you love all these people that's bound in drugs and all of that stuff. You love them and you have a plan for them and you need us down here, Lord. You need us to show them if he can do it for us, he can do it for you, and to have passion and compassion on those and be long-suffering with them until they get, because you know what? There's pillars that God has that he sets up in churches and stuff. And Travis told me one time, he said, God, Dad, you're just drawn to every, I mean, all these messed up people come to you. I said, well, they do Jesus. Do you know that that's what we're anointed to do, to fix them? We're anointed to fix them. Now, I'm saying all that. That's why Satan just wants us looking at ourselves, looking at our trials, and just trying to make it through, and just make it through these trials. And then when another one comes, oh, if it ain't one thing, it's another. It's another trial. We got to get out of that mentality. We have to get into the mentality, are there anything else that you want to try, Satan? Are there anything else? Bring it on, huncho. We done found out you was bruised. You bruised his heel. He crushed your head. He stripped you of all power. All you can do is lie, trying to deceive us. Trying to deceive us into believing that God's not real, that God's power is not real. Well, it is. And we have to let it have its perfect work that we're why? Why? That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, when we let endurance work, it's building us up. It's establishing us. It's getting us where we're unmovable, unshakable. I thought about the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul and Silas, when they was put in prison in the book of Acts, when I was kind of studying down these lines, I thought about them. I thought, you know what? I can't read in the Bible where there was any complaining going on before that. I mean, they were beat and whipped and thrown in prison, man, put in shackles and locked up. And they begin to sing at the midnight hour. They begin saying praises to God at the midnight hour. And the Lord spoke to me in that sermon one time. He said, see, he said, in their darkest hour, in their darkest trial, in their hardest trial, they was acknowledging me in that place of bondage. And you know what happened? The Spirit of God come and shook the place to where it shook all the jail doors open. And nobody left. Power of God was on the place. People even was changed. Their life was changed in that shaking. And you know what? I learned something out of that back under 20 years ago, 23 or 4 years ago. That in the darkest thing, in the darkest times of our lives, if we will keep our eyes on the Lord, keep your eyes on the promise, whatever you got to do. I used to tape scriptures on my rearview mirror so that I would see them on my way to work. I used to look back to see if the law was behind me. Now when I look at the rearview mirror, the Lord told me, get rid of the rearview mirror in your life. Don't look back. Just go forward. I would put scriptures on my mirror, you know, and where I could see it. I'd have them on my dashboard, you know, where I could see it going to work. Because your mind will wander on a million things while you're driving. I mean, you'll be thinking about the beach one time, how good it'd be to be on vacation. Next thing you're thinking about, now I'm going to go up yonder to Tennessee where snow's on the ground. You can think all that in just a few minutes. That's how come I couldn't deer hunt years ago. I went and bought me a gun and built me a pond and I built me a green field and I built me a hunting house and got me a big shotgun and went up there and then here comes a hawk down. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm gonna get me a deer today, man. I'm gonna get me a deer. And I'm having to keep my mind off, change batteries and things I need to do. And I thought, no, I'm gonna be quiet and just focus. And all of a sudden I got to watching this hawk. And there's a squirrel over there. The hawk comes down, and he swooped. I mean, that squirrel just liked to got it. That squirrel barely got away from that hawk. And that hawk went up and flew over me and come down there. And I heard one of Teresa's chickens. She had about 200 Rhode Island red chickens at that time and had about a quarter of an acre. I'd built a fence, didn't have no top on it. And I heard one of them. I thought, he didn't. He didn't. He went down there. He got one of them chickens. So I jumped up, went out. Something distracted me. I got distracted, Mac. I'm determined to get me a deer. It distracted me. So I jumped out, went down there, and there's that hawk. He's going, he's trying to take off. But Teresa had the fat chickens. I mean, she feed them at 20%, whatever it is, Purina stuff, you know. Them chickens so fat, they couldn't get off the ground by themselves. The hawk couldn't even tow them off. And so I thought, oh, no, you don't. And I, boom, I had that 30-06 deer rifle, man. When I shot, I missed him, and he took off. And I thought, man, I'd have smoked him if I'd have hit him, you know. And then I thought, man, now here I am down here. Now that I done scared the deer off. If there was any around up there, I went and got rid of the gun and all that, and I thought, it's not for me. And I went around saying, I'm just, people say, you hunt? Nope, I tried it, and I'm not patient enough. And you know what? Every time I would go, I would think, I'm not patient enough. You know what? I believe I can go hunt now, Mac. I quit saying that, and I started saying, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me, even if it's hunting. But see what I was saying and what I was thinking? You know, your trial will come, and if you ain't careful, boy, this is going to be bad. I just know this is going to end up bad. I know this ain't going to turn out good. You can't listen to those lies and endure. You can't listen to them and stay in faith. You've got to stay focused on the Word of God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, we won't turn over there, but it says, casting all your cares over on the Lord, for he cares for you. And in that, he tells us our adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. It says, whom we resist steadfast in the faith. Well, if you ain't got no faith, if your endurance has stopped, you're out of faith now. You're out of faith. So I want to encourage you. Faith is not enough. Faith is great. It comes from the Lord. We get it through the Word. We can get excited. But you know, that's why Paul said, run this race with endurance. Think long term. Long term serving Jesus. I'm thinking 80 years old. I told Travis, when I retire, I'm going to get more involved in the ministry. I'm not looking, you know, to retire, really. I just want to quit working. You know, quit doing all that labor stuff. But get more. Well, see, I'm not going to get in the mindset that I'm not going to have the ability to do anything at 65, 75, 80 years old. We are promised 120 years. So I need to think at least 100. Go after 120, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, tonight.